Appreciate you tuning in to another episode of the Bliss is Ignorant podcast. This is Jay Bliss. I'm here again with another one of my comedian compadres, man. This dude I met back in the day at one of the college conferences, man. Blame the Comic, man. Out of Texas, man. What's going on, fam?
What up? You got it. Thank you for having me, man.
No doubt, man. We crossed paths back in the day at the APCA conference, one of the premier conferences that comedians go to try to get work at colleges. I've eliminated myself from the running when it comes to colleges because I refuse to keep dyeing my beard. So I'm like, I'm not going to do it anymore. And it was before the pandemic. So after the pandemic, I was like, I'm done with the college stuff, man. But it was paying me well before the pandemic.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So let me ask you, how long you been in the game?
Since, excuse me, I've been in the game since like, I want to say like 01.
Yeah.
01. Yeah.
That's a good amount of time, man.
3 years, maybe. Yeah.
And are you from originally from Texas?
I am born and raised here in Houston. Yeah.
That's what's up. That's
Yeah.
what's up. So what got you started in the game? Like, were you like the class clown? Was somebody in your ear? Was it something you saw and was like, I want to do that? Like, what happened?
Crazy thing is, I always been the guy that just kind of like, I guess you could say class clown, but not enough to like get in trouble and all that stuff. But I always would do like in high school that like to rank and, joan on people and stuff like that. And so I had a cousin that was like, man, it was this dude, they was doing comedy. And, well, I can't remember. I can't remember what happened first, but anywho, I'll tell both stories. So the first one is, it was a dude, my guard brother. I was in the market for a new truck, and we went to a dealership, and this guy, at the dealership, he did comedy, named Israel Washington.
Okay.
They was like, he was like, yeah, man, I got a show at an open mic on such and such date, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And you should come check me out. And then kind of like the rest is history. I went and checked him out. And then a couple of days later or whatever, the next week, I came out and performed. And then after that, the next go round, I think this part happened first. This dude in my neighborhood, he was like a drug dealer or whatever. And he was trying to do comedy. You know what I mean? He had a little money. He went to this small little hole in the wall club called Times Square. And
Yeah.
you know what I mean? I went up there to go see him. And then the next week they told me to if I wanted to do it, come back. And so of course he was telling me all about it. And then the next week I was supposed to go back. And the dude, he had a shootout with the neighbors across the street and got killed.
What the?
Yeah, crazy. And I think I still wind up going back for some reason, but when I went back, and they wind up getting away with it because when they killed him outside his yard in his driveway. Like his gate was literally, he was dead on this side. Gate was on the, because he was dating the neighbor's daughter.
Okay.
Got into some BS about whatever was going on and pulled out pistols and started shooting and popping and he got the and he died in the driveway, and that's the only reason why they got away with it, because he was outside his yard in his driveway behind in front of his fence. But anyway, long story short, I went to go perform and got bumped, and then I came back again, and then I got a chance to get on and stuff like that, and then I just kept going, man, and I ain't never stopped. I hooked up with this girl named Keisha Hunt that was a comedian. I don't know if you know her or not. And we was like tag teams riding around the city hitting all the open mics, man, and I just never stopped, bro. So yeah.
So you just got up there and started going. Like you didn't have no mentor, you had nobody in your ear telling you what to do, what was right, what was wrong. You just learned like baptism by fire.
Well, once I got on the circuit, once I got on the circuit and I tried it,
Yeah.
I think I met some people, and
Yeah.
it was just one of them things that I'm the type of person that I get with stuff and I stick with it. I don't really let a lot of stuff go. Like whatever I do, usually if I get into it, I
Yeah.
hold on to stuff. I'm not the type of person that really start and stop on certain things. I guess depends if it fits my personality or not. You know what I mean? So I guess because that girl that I was with kind of stuck with me and we kind of connected. I don't know if she was attracted to me at the time or whatever was going on, but shit, we would always drive around and do different things and just hit different open mics and stuff like that. And then I just saw like, and it happened kind of fast for me too, because when it started, I started hearing about clubs and trying different stuff and finding my way. And then like, I want to say after about 11 months of being in, I wind up getting on BET. No, I take that back. After 11 months in, I wind up winning they had a Kings and Queens of Comedy search that Walter Lapham was doing. I wind up winning that in the Arena Theater. It was like over 20, it was like a 2,700 seater, and you had like 3 minutes. And I went up third, and I wind up winning, like after only doing it for 11 months. And then a year and a half, that's when I got on BET on Coming to the Stage. And it kind of picked up kind of fast for me. And then I had that big little high, and then it went down for me. You know what I mean? When I say down, I didn't get no more TV. Well, I take that back. Then shortly after that, I did the Las Vegas Comedy Festival, like after I did that. So I had a few little things that picked up for me real quick that kind of piqued my interest and let me know that I was on the right track into something that I was possibly good at. And yeah, then I stuck with it after that, man. I ain't never looked back. I ain't never quit. Never. Yeah.
When you think about 2001, like social media wasn't really popping back then, so you didn't have anything to ride onto or basically get people into your audience. Like your audience was basically where you were, and
Right.
there was no way to go viral there. You know what I'm saying? When you think about it, you know what I mean? I mean, they had
Well,
MySpace and stuff like that a little bit after that, but you got to realize like you got 11 months in and winning shit is very rare. You know what I'm
right.
saying? When you think about like, if you think about how, when you think about where you were when you were 11 months in, you would hate everything you did. Like you would look at that now and be like, man,
When
that was
I did
horrible, right?
that Kings and Queens of Comedy tour, I actually lost the very first city. I tried a new joke that which is one of the forbidden rules that you're not supposed to do when you go out on the stage if you ain't worked it out. And there was some silly stuff like I had put on a pamper and pretended like I was a sumo wrestler. I really didn't know what I was doing, but I had in my idea what my mind of comedy was. And so I didn't really get on social media till like, I think I had a MySpace, but I didn't really start cranking up in social media till I think like 2009, till my girl, which is my wife now, put me on social media, which was Facebook. And so what kind of had me as a motivation was, is that, Comic View, remember when Comic View was traveling around and going to these different cities and states and stuff and doing auditions? That was kind of like my motivation, you know what I mean? And I was hanging around some of the guys. Like I used to watch Comic View when I was in high school, when I would go by my girlfriend's house on like Def Jam and stuff like that. And I would see some of these guys that you know what I mean, that I knew that had been on TV, or you know what I mean, or comics that I considered to be vets at the time, but they were still pretty young, or they was either traveling with a veteran comedian, you know what I mean, on the road and doing shows. So I had those little more, and I would watch dudes really rock the stage, and it was like, oh yeah, that looked like. And then I remember getting my first $50 doing like a little nightclub, and I was like, when I got it, I remember saying to myself, oh, this behind some stuff that I made up in my mind that I didn't, oh yeah, this on. My rap career ended after
Wait,
that.
hold that time. So you was a rapper first?
Yeah, man, I was trying to do a little rapping, man, but that wasn't for me because I ain't no angry person. You know what I mean? So that was short-lived, but I still got all the microphone equipment and that's what this keyboard was behind me trying to
So you
perform.
was just a performer anyway. You was gonna be a performer regardless, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I knew I was in the arts. I was trying to show you how old this piano take diskettes. You know what I'm saying?
That dude brought out the disc.
Yeah,
That's
man.
crazy, bro. Yeah. So I will say this, like, so there's been times that, and you bring up a good point when you talk about the Comic View and the Def Jam and that era. And I'm gonna be honest with you, there were times when I have seen people perform that was on Def Jam or they were on Comic View, and a lot of times, man, it was underwhelming. And I was like it wasn't, because you think about somebody that's been on TV, and like typically it's what, 4 or 5 minutes, maybe seven at the most. And that joke that they did on TV might have been the funniest thing that they did that whole night. And I'd be like, wow, like they living off of this. And that was part of my motivation when I first started doing comedy. I started in 2005. And I would see some of these people and I'd be like, man, that was underwhelming. Like, that wasn't that funny to me. And I would always wonder why they would do the same stuff. I didn't really know about comedy that much. You know what I mean? When I started learning, like, yo, it's a set. Like, you gotta map all this stuff out. This stuff gotta last you for a while, and you gotta learn how to craft the joke and understand the joke and write the joke and rewrite the joke. And when I figured it out, I was like, okay, I get it now. But then once I figured it out and once I started doing it, I was even more underwhelmed because I'm like, whoa, they got a 20-year horse to head start on me. And I felt really like y'all really wasn't putting the work in at all. Y'all got y'all buzz, y'all made y'all money off y'all TV appearance, but y'all never put the work in. And I'm not saying all, it's a lot of them though. Never put the work in to be able to say, this is my introduction. But this is where I've graduated to, and this is what I've grown to.
Well, here's the thing. I think a part of that is that, sometimes for some comics, life happen. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
yeah, yeah.
Everybody's circumstances don't allow them to, venture out or do what they need to do to make things happen. I think too is depending on what market that you come from. You know what I mean? You just don't have those avenues. You know what I mean? If you can't do that, and then everybody is what you got to realize too. Like I know some comedians, they don't want it all. You got some people that just do this for the clout, you know what I
Yeah.
mean? For the women, you know what I
Yeah.
mean? For the alcohol and the weed, every night, whenever they do it, you know what I mean? So everybody's motivation and everybody's dream ain't the same, you know what I mean? So I mean, I get it, and like. For a long time, like you said earlier, if you don't have no mentor, you really don't know what direction to go. And a lot of people are hush mouth with information on how you get ahead and
Yeah. Yeah.
certain things to do. And so you on a learning curve unless certain information fall in your lap or you overhear something. And then
Yeah.
a lot of times too, as comics, we're afraid to invest in ourselves, you know what I mean? Or don't know how to necessarily invest in ourselves. Like I present an opportunity to comic sometime and say, hey man, for X amount of dollars, man, hey, I got some shit that I know that'll work and help your career that's allowed me to be a full-time comic over the last, let me see, I was pretty much full-time since I was part-time in 2010 and then went full-time in 2013. So 2013, that's been like 10 years. So 10 plus 10 to 10 plus years, I've been a full-time comic, but people don't want to take that step because they just want you to give them the information. You know what I mean? And that's
They want shortcuts, man. And it's unfair, but that you made a really good point. Like, investing in yourself. Like, some people, like, you gotta believe in yourself, first of all. But investing in yourself, it basically guarantees you believe in yourself. So there were two instances that I felt like I invested in myself. One was I paid $1,200 to go to Iowa for a comedy competition for a booker to see me so I can get booked at certain clubs, the Funny Bones and Improvs. I invested in myself. Now I'm in a comedy competition with 28 comedians and I'm in Iowa. When I literally could have went to Ohio, but he was like, you got to come to Iowa for me to see you. And I was like, I didn't want to go. But I was like, this shit gonna cost me stupid money. And it ain't even no guarantee I'm gonna get work. But I also was like, you know what? If I don't believe in me, who else gonna believe in me? You know what I'm saying? It worked. The second time was where I saw you at, was APCA.
Okay.
That's an ass of money you gotta spend for that bullshit, right?
At least 3 grand.
Right, at the minimum, right? But then the part that I didn't know, but I learned after the fact, was it wasn't the performance that got you the gigs. It was the hanging out at the bar with all the people from the colleges that got you the gigs.
I must ain't do that because I mean,
I learned later. I learned somebody told me later, it's like, dude, it's not your performance. Some of the people, how the people don't even see your performance. It's you snoozing with them, drinking with them at the bar, having a good time, and then they like, we'll book you.
well, I'll say it's probably a little bit of both because I done seen some dudes crash that audition and they hopes and dreams, they ain't want to snooze and mooge with nobody. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
No, I feel you on that too.
When you
I
get
had
up,
a good time. I had a good time every time I did those showcases. I never ended up with the nighttime dinner one, but the ones that I did in the afternoon, I killed them. And then people would like.
I did it like twice. I did it in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and I did it in Houston. And each time I made my money back, whether it was just so happened through the venue itself, I mean through the event itself, or I wind up just booking a college on my own. So, and I just kind of counted it as that. But I always left with some bookings, but I didn't do crazy numbers like a Ronald Lopez or some of them other people that booked like 27 colleges and all this stuff. I never did any of
I
that.
mean, you can make a killer amount of money, you know what I mean? Doing those, you know what I mean? But you know, it was an experience, and I did have a good time, and it did help my bank account out a lot when I got booked. You know, I had a good run for a little while, and then when the pandemic hit, it kind of messed everything up.
Gotcha. Yeah, I stopped doing it after twice. I was like, man, I'm not, because I've done some other colleges and stuff like that. And then you just notice that, like, I started out doing some colleges too, like when I was in like in my early 20s, or I mean like late 20s. And then after you don't do it in a while and then you come back, you feel a gap. Feel a gap between you and the students, like, man, how I'm gonna relate to them. And probably a lot of that is just in your mind, you know what I mean, too, because these kids, they don't know a lot of stuff, man. You know what I mean? And ain't nobody our age in college really coming to the comedy show at the college if they still in college, because they dealing with life, you know?
Right, absolutely, 100%. So, who were your influences when you first started doing comedy?
I know my influences were true to the day because I wrote down who my influences were in my yearbook in high school. And I forgot. And then I looked back and I found myself still liking the same people. So my influence was Jamie Foxx and Martin Lawrence. Like,
Nice.
those were my two favorite shows when I was in high school and stuff like that. And I will say David Spade, because I used to watch like that show Just Shoot Me. I don't know if you ever saw that. I think they stopped playing Martin and that show came on. And I kind of identify with his comedy, which is like victim comedy, which is really funny to me, because that's kind of like, I don't know if you ever seen my crime videos that I've done online and stuff like that. Like, I identify with that. Like, that's funny to me because I'd be like, look at this. Like, look at him trying to get over, take advantage, or you know what I mean? And I think I like it because, you know, it's they say comedy is pain. You know what I'm saying? They say that, but you don't see that a lot of times in comedy. You know what I mean? Unless people in a personal story, you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So, and then I forgot that I said that, and I looked back in my yearbook and I saw that I had wrote them down, that was my influences and stuff. So yeah.
That's crazy too. Like, you know, stuff sticks in the back of your head. Sometimes you really don't even recognize, you know, how you're gonna end up being where you was gonna be. And you know, when I was in high school, I got voted most popular along with like the four other guys that we was in this dance group or whatever. And we was like most popular or most likely to succeed. You know what I mean? It was like one of those things. But you know, high school was where I crafted my sense of humor. Elementary school, middle school, high school, my sense of humor. And I was one of them dudes that was in the group of people joning on one another and doing stuff like that, snapping on people. But my stuff always went over the top. Like they always be like, all right, we done, man. You always go too far. You know what I mean? It's like, you had to say that about that man, mom, like that. That was real. You know what I mean? Like,
One of my homeboys tell me that all the time, Blaine, you go too far, man. You go too far, bro. I'm like,
yes. Hey,
what you want me to do, man? Damn. Like, shit, we playing now. Let's play. You know what I mean? I'm in the game.
so the most recent video I saw from you was you going in on the people that was heckling you at that bar. So when
Understood.
you told the lesbian chick that I am a real boy, dude. When I tell you, I laugh hilariously because you can tell it struck a nerve with her. You can tell it struck a nerve with her. And you was not only were you joning, you was trying to get the pronouns right. You was trying to you was doing all these different things, and I could see your mind going crazy because you're like, man, I'm about to cuss the lady out, but you never went too far. Well, you did go too far because I could tell the people in the audience are like, ugh, like that's uncomfortable. You know what
Well,
I'm
here's the thing. Here's the thing. So with my comedy, if you go back and look at, I just dropped part six today on Instagram of that whole thing. And it's been doing really well. And I point out, because the reason behind all that is I'm trying to get into this crowd work stuff like Matt Rife and Nate Jackson and these people like this. I'm trying to get into that realm because I'm really good at that. And for years I never really posted that stuff. So now, excuse me, I go out and I intentionally just go out, talk with the crowd, abandon my set for the most part, and just see where I can come up with. Because, and what people don't know is that take a lot of courage to go up there on stage and not have a plan and not know which way you're gonna go. And then the moment I latch on to something, or I get a little bit of bite of, if I'm just somebody, what they do or that what's their relationship, and if it go negative, whichever way it go, I roll with it. You understand what I'm saying? But the point that I was trying to make, I didn't call that woman out her name till she called me out my name.
No, and that's when you know you got him. So, past weekend before last, I called on Thursday to open up for Russell Peters on Friday and Saturday at the Comedy Zone in Charlotte.
Okay.
And we got there and he said he didn't have a set. He did not have a set. He just got off the tour and he was trying to work on his new hour. So that's what he was doing. He just went up there and was fucking with people.
Right.
So he was basically trying to get his new hour together. And in between time of him trying some stuff out, he was just interacting with people. And it's a great muscle to be able to do those type of things. But we also have to find the right spot to do it in, you know? So like I know for sure, like a Matt Rife, he does his stuff like towards the end.
Right. Oh, that's where he do his stuff. Okay, see,
Yeah. So Nate can do a whole hour of that. Like
okay.
he can literally go up there and be like, I'm not telling one joke. I'm just gonna go up there and do crowd work. Big Jay Oakerson is another one that can do that, right?
I don't
You
know.
don't know Big, you know Big Jay. If you've seen him, you know Big Jay Oakerson. You know him if you see him. I'm gonna be honest with you. So Matt can do crowd work, but he does jokes. Like he want same thing with Nate. They have sets.
Right.
But they do have that craft. Like the very first time I worked with Matt Rife, and I'm probably letting people know information now. Very first time I worked with Matt Rife, he was opening for me. And
Okay.
we were at the Greensboro Comedy Zone. And the manager there is real stickler on time. So he's like, all right, he went up to Matt, was like, yo, 22 minutes. And, Jay, you close it out and do 46. And I was like, all right, I don't know what's up with these weird ass times, but okay. You know what I mean? So Matt goes up and does his time. He is 10 minutes into his set. Now he only got 12 more minutes to go. 10 minutes into his set, he started doing crowd work. And I'm like, why you doing crowd work? You only got 22 minutes. But what I realized at that moment, he's so young, he really didn't have 22 minutes.
Right.
So his crowd work is really a muscle that he utilizes because of the lack of time that he had during that time. And it's something that he's carried on and utilized within his comedy thing. A lot of people say that's a crutch. I say if you could do it, do it. I like my material so much that I hate going off the track to do crowd work.
So let me tell you the flip side of that. So you right, and you absolutely right what you said about it's a muscle, and he didn't have the time, because I've seen guys on the internet that go to crowds. I ain't gonna say no names.
Listen, we already know the people we're talking about. Listen, we in the same field. Like, I get it. Like,
I saw a guy, he sold like six shows, right? Came to Houston. He did 20 minutes of stand-up and 25 minutes worth of crowd work. The crowd work was horrible. But what I will tell you about crowd work too is crowd work is definitely a muscle, because I'm gonna tell you, sometimes you get into a show where you might be on with a group of guys that's real strong, or find yourself in an awkward position where you're out the gate is not that strong, or you're in a competition, and a lot of comics don't know how to abandon their set and be in the moment. So that's why it is a art to it. It is a craft to it. And some people don't know how to do it without being attacking, or you know what I mean, or you know, down, like really just being too aggressive with the audience, you know what I
And
mean?
being
Because
mean, being mean, yeah,
it's a
being
fine
mean.
line. It's a difference between me poking you and me attacking you. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's definitely a tool, but if you're gonna have that in your bag, you need to be official and certified with it, and you need to know, okay, now my crowd work ain't working. Let me go back into my material. You know what
Go
I
into my
mean?
material, yeah.
I'll give you another example too. I don't know if you ever thought about this. So I got some stuff that I do in my show that takes the energy way up here. I have an old school comic. He had been on Comic View and all this. This guy named Black Prince that's from Houston. I did, because we was doing this little bar together, and man, I came out, my show wasn't working. So I got something in my repertoire to where if my show ain't working, okay, I know how to get them. Let me go and reel them in. And so when I reel them in, it takes the energy way up here. And the mistake that I made is when I got ready to perform, I started telling my jokes again. And then when I told the jokes, the show went down. Well, what the veteran told me was, he was like, "Hey man, when you get them, Blaine, that thing that you do, it take the energy way up here. And what happens is when you get a chance to get into your set, you come back in and you get comfortable. And you can't do that, because when you get comfortable, the energy is here. You got to get into your jokes right back up here to keep the energy going. You see what I'm saying?" And so that was like, I've taken all these little nuggets from these different comics that we have in the city of Houston that has allowed me to be, you know what I mean, strong on stage. And typically when I go to places, I don't care who run the open mic, if I frequent that place, I typically become the favorite of these open mics. I don't give a damn who there. People, man, you going up. You know what I mean? And so it's because I'm comfortable on stage. You know what I'm saying? It's totally different from acting. I wish I had that in my acting. That's what this backdrop, nigga. I be doing auditions all the time. I ain't booked a damn thing. I booked one thing with JJ Watt from the Houston Texans, and that's it. But I'm still plugging at the audition side. Let me cut this light on.
Hey man, just keep roping, keep grinding, man. It's gonna happen. Like, I love seeing like the creatives who continue just doing different avenues of things. You know what I mean? I love stand up so much that people ask me, "Oh, you ever think about doing this? You ever think about doing that?" Man, listen, I'd rather take my time and write out more jokes to try than to try anything else like acting or. And that's probably why I don't do a lot of social media, because I'm like, the time it take me to do this skit or do this bit, I could have wrote out the premise I had. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's how I think about stuff, man. And
Say
that's
that
how,
again. Say that part again.
so that's probably why my social media suffers, or I won't take the time to actually go do skits and things for social media, because I'm like, man, I'd rather sit down and try to rewrite this premise or write out this joke or, you know what I'm saying, try to get another book in or whatever. But I know the consistency that it takes to get the social media part.
So let me.
I talked to another comedian on here. He puts out 3 videos a day. 3, 6, and 9. He told me that's the time frame he put them up. And I'd be like, damn, that's crazy. But he do it. He consistent.
Let me say this, Jay Bliss. I will say this. So I understand what you're saying about, you know, writing the jokes and stuff. So I'll give you two. You know, it's all about perspective. You know what I mean? How you look at things. I will say skits is one way to come up with material as well. And I'll say this, because I had one of my homeboys say, "Hey, that skit you did right there, you need to take that to the stage." And I didn't think about it like that. Became a joke for me. So sometimes you got to look at it. It's just another platform, because my skits for me is writing. You know, it's like it's not just me hopping in front of the camera. I
Oh
literally
no, I
sit down
know.
and write this stuff out.
You're
And
listen, you're first of all, the criteria, the premise itself, and then the path you go down with the crying shit. Like I'm like, who the fuck thought of why how the hell you think of, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm telling you the crying shit is funny because I'm pretty sure you were just going through your filters one day and you saw the crying one. It's like, you know what? Let me try this one and shit.
I'm gonna tell you what happened. I was in my apartment in L.A. and up late night on that toilet on this phone, and I saw a dude come across my filter, come across my phone, and I saw him crying. It was like 1:30, 2 o'clock. I was like, ooh, I can milk this hoe. Ooh, this got me out written all over it. You know what I mean? And man, bro. I just went with it. And then I did, and then I started adding music to it to kind of give you the whole essence and the vibe of, you know what I mean? Because like I said, it's victim comedy. And like, it's like, so for example, do you have a video, a crime video in mind that stick out in the head just right off the top of your head?
The one where you your wife had you doing some old crazy like sadomasochistic stuff. She was whipping you or something. He's like, this is crazy, you know what I mean? And then it was another one you did when it was hot outside and you was talking about the Texas heat and
Oh,
you
yeah.
was like, this don't make no damn sense. You were like, ha. That shit made me laugh. It's so many of them, but
Yeah.
it's like the two that stick out was the one where she was beating you. And then the other one, it was like something about y'all was about to have sex or something, but she was doing some old crazy stuff.
Oh,
You
yeah. So I think the one, so it was two of them where we was about to have, I think the $40 one where she handed me the $40.
yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that, you know, that's a running joke in the black community about, you know, a nigga give a woman sex for $40. And
Right.
like I said, man, what would it be like if a woman gave a nigga $40 for sex? What would that?
Right.
And my wife, a trooper, man, she really stuck in there. I probably mauled over that skit probably about 15, 16 times before I dropped it, before I
Yeah.
felt like that's it.
I could do it. Right.
Yeah, that, well, no, we were shooting it. Stop, we shoot it, go back. Delete it, go back and record it again. Ah, let's do it again. And my wife, she really hangs out with me, man, and she a trooper. And Michael Baisden from the radio, he actually shared it on his page.
Yeah,
And we got
absolutely.
views, and somebody took it down off their page, took my stamp off, and put their stamp over it. And man, it was gone. And I had to go in these some of these videos and say, hey, I'm the creator of this video. And a
Yeah.
few people come, I get a few people, you know what I mean? And I had several videos go viral, but I always try to reinvent myself. And here's the thing. The reason why I like the crowd work stuff that I do, like me, Rose, because I like that because it gives a people a glimpse into you. And I
Yeah.
don't know if you've been seeing, I be promoting my shows at the end of my videos. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But it's not really giving up none of my material.
Right.
And then when you see me, when you really see me,
Yeah.
like,
Yeah. I mean,
man,
absolutely. 'Cause like I'm
oh,
like
that nigga strong, man.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
yeah.
tell people all the time, there's a difference between, see, this is the difference. You got internet niggas trying to do comedy, but I'm a comedy nigga that's doing internet.
Absolutely.
It's a definitely difference. You see what I'm
Yeah.
saying?
Yeah.
I blow any of them niggas out. I mean, and all of us would blow any of them cats out the
I mean
water.
that's what we that, but that's what we do. Like, you know, somebody said you can't. I bet you can't make a skit as good as mine. I probably can't. But you give me 30 minutes on that stage, you ain't gonna be able to follow me.
Yeah.
Like I tell you right now, I got joke. Just like you said, you got a joke that bring people up here. I got a joke I call Room Turner, meaning I'm gonna start my show off. I'm gonna get everybody in the room that don't know who me rock with me. They're gonna be like, I like this dude. I like the way he presents himself. His jokes is relatable. I'm starting to like what I'm doing. But bam, here come the joke that's gonna remind you at a comedy show. You better stop all that liking me right now because I'm about to offend everybody in here. You know what I mean? And when I do that room turner, you'll see everybody's face like, what did he just say? And I go, yeah. You know, like it's just go further. Then I go, yeah, we was having a good time, but hey, let me tell you this other one. And then one time on my show, I'll go, this next joke is horrible.
Right.
I y'all ain't gonna like this at all, but the punchline is so worth it. Y'all gonna have to rock with this one. And people just get on the edge of their seat, like, well, let's hear it. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? It's just like, it's
Yeah.
like you just keep going. And then like, so you know, and there's times like I love knowing that I'm about to rip this audience in half, and they have no idea what's about to hit them. You know what I mean? Like, you have a comedy come up, they do a good job, and they'd be like, "Oh man, that was amazing!" And I go, "Yeah, just wait, wait." Like the back in the day with Batman with Nicholson. Wait till they get a load of me. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah.
just wait.
Yeah.
So what? So I see you. Like I say, I see you in doing a lot of well, a lot of the clips that you show, like you're doing the crowd work, but you'll be at like the rooms. Like it's not necessarily a comedy club. A lot of times it'll be like the bars and the breweries and stuff like that. A lot of people see what a lot of people don't know. A lot of people don't know because people comedians post would put them in a good light. They don't post the grind. They don't post what we all go through, right? And some people look at that and go, "Man, why are he performing there?" That's where you get your legs. That's where you get
Let me
your
tell you
medal.
something.
You know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you something. And it's funny that you say that because, you know, as a guy that's been in this grind, you know, certain comics get to my age, our age, and
Yeah.
you want to hit these open mics no more. It's like
Shit.
you above that because, you know what I mean? I was working with Nephew Tommy at one point on the road. I just been working with Nephew I've been working with Ricky Smiley here recently and stuff like that. So I ain't really had time. And then plus I done moved out to the suburbs. So for me to even go out and do that is like a 25, 30 minute drive, hour round trip. You know what I mean? So I like those places because that's where you got to go. You got to go in and go get the laughter. They not giving it. You got to go, and it make you a different type of monster when you can go in there. And you got people talking over here and talking over there, and they, you know, and this dude, he macking the girl at the bar, and then you didn't have the, you know, you got the gay boys, they didn't just walked in, and then you just got all this different circle of peoples that then walked in, and it's like coming to the stage, blame the comic, and you look around like what I'm, you got to figure it out. It's almost like a cube, man. You got to figure it out, and then slowly, eventually, the whole room turned. And everybody face on me. And that's how you get them. And see, a lot of comics, I watched another comic, I won't say his name, came into a room like that Ali was hosting here in the city. And he went up and did like 5, 10 minutes and said, man, because he was doing like the Shaq All-Star stuff. He was like, man, I ain't come down here to fight. I ain't got time for this and this, that, and the third. And I get it. I get it when you get at a certain level, but now you don't hear his name like that. I don't know what he's doing, but you don't. And I was like, man, you know, for me as a comic, I was like, bro, I really wanted to see you perform. Like, you know what I mean? I don't, you know, whether you do good or bad, if you're a true comic, if you see the room, you know what it is. I ain't judging you off of that. And I had just asked the dude to, you know, get some dates with him. And then he came. I was actually hosting the club that next night that he performed at. And then he did that. And then we kind of bumped heads because I was like, I can't stand when comedians be arrogant for no reason. And you little, come on, bro. Don't do.
So here's the thing about that, Blame. Like, to be arrogant as a comedian, to me, is the ultimate disrespect. Because this is the only profession, and internet comics are kind of messing it up, but everybody remembers being where the other person is. Everybody. When I see an open micer, I'm dapping them up. "What's up, fam? What's good? Let me check. I'm gonna check your set out. Watch the set. If I can give them any pointers, I'm gonna give them pointers. If they got awful, I can't give them no pointers. All I can do is dap them up. Like, hey, man, keep doing your thing. You know what I mean? But if I see something and I see them making a mistake or I see something they can improve upon, it's my job to go talk to them and make them be that much better because somebody did it for me. You know what I'm
Right.
saying? And for a comedian to come into a green room and say, I'll give you an example. I was doing a show one time, bumped head with this comedian. They was in LA. They came in and they came in the green room. And they was like, you live here in Ohio? I was like, nah, I live in Charlotte. You drove all the way from Charlotte to feature? Yeah. Why? This ain't LA. This ain't New York. You know what I mean? We don't have rooms where we go do 15 minutes and then go somewhere else to do 10 minutes and go somewhere else to do 7 minutes and go somewhere else to do. When I do my shows, at a minimum, I'm 25 to 30, maximum an hour, hour and 20. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's what I do. I don't do 5 minutes at a time in the city. You know what I'm saying? So, and the crazy thing about it was, blew this comic out the water. You hear me? Blew this comic out the water. This comic ain't had no business headlining at all.
Them LA comics ain't as strong as as people would think it. And not all of them from LA, but the ones that move there, I guess they get so less frequent time that they agency just they able to put them on and do whatever they. But man, when you come when you leave West and come back East,
They ain't sharp.
man, listen,
They ain't sharp.
that heat get real, and then they'll try to treat you like, oh man, I ain't got time for Jay Bliss, that old country ass nigga. They try to downplay you, like, cause you don't stay where it's popping at. You ain't, you know what I'm saying, certified, but you be the
It's
put some
funny.
heat on the ass.
It's funny you say that because a Houston comic that you mentioned, Ali, he proved you ain't gotta move nowhere. You funny, you funny. If you funny, they're gonna find you.
Right. Well,
You know what I'm saying?
it helps if
You
you do
don't, it does, but you ain't got to uproot yourself. You don't. You really don't. You
right.
don't. Like I say, Blaine, you could be right where you at and be bigger than anybody else that's in New York or LA. You can. It's just you just got a right place, right time, right opportunity, right person to see you. That's it.
Right.
That's all it take. You see what I'm saying? So and I'm a proponent of that. My kids to raise, you know what I'm saying? My daughters is 16. They got 2 more years before they go to college. I ain't going nowhere. You know
Yeah.
what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going nowhere. I don't get that time back. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But after they're gone, who knows? You know
Yeah.
what I'm saying? Maybe it is time for me to go to New York. Maybe it is time for me to go to LA. But at that moment, I'll be the sharpest tool in the shed
Right.
by that time.
Right.
I'm sharp now, but the first time I got my TV appearance, they was like, you going up first. I was like, well, I feel bad for everybody else that's taping. They was like, why? I said, because I'm doing all closes, baby. I
Yeah.
was like, I said, I'm doing all closes. For the
Yeah.
8 minutes I'm on, I'm doing all closes.
Yeah.
Killed it. You know what I mean? But it's just like, you know, you wait for those opportunities, man. And it's like, you know, you there. You know what I mean? Like I said, I watched this set at the APCA joint. I think you was there, I was there, I think Ronnie Jordan was there.
Okay.
A couple of cats we were just talking. Oh, my man, I had him on the podcast too. Mike Paramore was there. And I don't know if you know Mike Paramore. He did a dry bar too. Did you do a dry bar?
Oh, yes, I think I just recently was it dry bar? No,
Don't tell.
that wasn't dry bar. That was Don't Tell Comedy
Don't
out
tell
there.
comedy. Yeah. That's the
Yeah.
different. That's the one where you don't have no stipulations on what you talk about.
Yeah, so but I don't think it aired. So to my understanding, this was my first time. I just did it for the first time last month or a
Yeah.
month ago last, and they only show the tapings for it in LA and Austin, I
Yeah.
believe. That's the only ones that get video recorded and they put it on the site.
Yeah.
So I did it in Houston, but they didn't use none of my footage though. So I mean,
Cool.
it's
Nah,
kind
if it's
of
the first time, they probably gonna bring you back. I just applied for it, so I'm pretty sure I'll get put on one of the shows pretty soon coming up or whatever. But
right.
you know, it's plenty of us out here. You know what I mean? They just like I say, people always be like, well, if you know, you've been doing comedy this long, how come you ain't blown up? I'm like, it ain't always about if you blown up or not. That don't mean you're not funny. You know what I mean? You gotta understand, you know, you're dealing with a beast. You know, like I ain't chopped liver. Wait till I get on this stage and watch what happened. You know what I mean?
The best feeling though, bro. The best feeling. I'm one of them type of comics where, you know, to see me at APCA and all that shit is just, you know, that's almost like some corporate shit, you know what I mean?
Right.
But the best feeling is when I perform in some of these clubs and stuff like that. And when I say like a nightclub where they doing a comedy night or something like that, and the best feeling is when some of these hood niggas see me and go, "Nigga, why you ain't made it yet? You funny than a motherfucker, man. I ain't never heard of you. What you man, listen." And then I tell all these dudes, I say, "Man, you know, some of them be talking about management. I tell them, listen, man, anybody can man, you can manage me if you want to, but you gonna eat what you kill. You know what I mean? I ain't calling you around asking you. So if you got some juice and you can make the shit work, fuck with me. I got you. You know what I mean? But other than that, I can't waste no time. If you know how to plug in, because like I even had Ricky say, "Nigga, you got it. You got it. It's just you stay with it, this, that, and the third." But I'm like, Rick, I wanna say, he one of the OGs where you just gotta listen. You know what I mean? You can't
Yeah.
do too much. I'm like, man, just point me in, give me a bone, at least something to fish with. Don't just tell me I got it. Help me work a little, because I know what I do on my own. Like I got my own stuff going on, but add some value to me that way I can keep going and keep pushing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
Sometimes you just need that.
them little
Thing
affirmations.
is, he on radio every day. All he gotta do is like, if y'all don't know who Blame the Comic is, all of a sudden you got, 20,000 people then came to check your page out. You know what I mean? But it's just like,
He's mentioned my name a time or two on the radio, which is cool. You know what I mean?
It's always interesting, man. And it's never the people. I always say this: if Kevin Hart came out tomorrow and went on social media and said, "If y'all don't check out Jay Bliss, you crazy." Now, that plug alone would only enlighten my friends and family who follow me now to be like, oh man, let me share this. I'm like, y'all ain't been sharing shit else. Why
Right.
are you sharing this? Like, yo,
Right.
I went off on some people, what, a few months ago. I submitted some information to do a show in a club. They came back and told me that my credentials was good, my clips was nice, my experience was right, but I don't have enough social media following. So they couldn't book me. And I was like, this ain't even an A room now. This ain't even an A room.
People don't know that's the BS that we go through. But listen, this is what I tell comics too, Jay Bliss, when I said about perspective earlier, I forgot to mention. I tell comics all the time, man, I say, look, you can go to these comedy clubs and perform for a max of 300 people, or you can get online and perform for 3 million people. Because it's in your best interest, Jay Bliss. Listen, I ain't trying to change you. I respect whatever you got going on, bro. I'm not trying to change nothing. But we didn't seen it. Like, I can't, for me personally, I can't stay to watch people skip the line and get in front of me. And I know I didn't put in all that work, bro. And not only that, it's just like when your name precedes you and social media allows your name to precede you, whether it's your face on a flyer or your face. I always be happy when I see my people. I be like, look at Jay Bliss, motherfucking ass. You know what I mean? And it buys you favor too, bro. It buys you favor because somebody, complete strangers that don't know you, it make you feel welcome anywhere you go. They be like, "Oh man, that's the nigga from the comp. Man, let him, man, cool nigga, man, yeah." And you don't even know this nigga from a can of paint. You know what I mean? It just buy you favor, bro, and it makes shit a lot. I done been to the airport and needed a rental car, and they be like, "Wait, you the guy? Don't worry about it. I'll take care of you."
That's
It just help you, bro. It
good stuff, man. Hey, I'm gonna tell you what make me feel good though. When my friends send me a clip of people I know.
okay.
So like you. Like somebody send me, like, do you see that? Like, yeah, that's my man, Blame. He out of Texas. And they'll be like, you know him? I go, yeah, I can call him. Like, they be like that. I remember the first time my cousin realized that Ryan Davis. Like, she was like, oh, you gotta meet this dude. I was like, that's Ryan, that's Ryan. I'm his OG. She like, you don't know him. I'm like, I do know Ryan. She like, you I call him on the phone. I said, Ryan, he shut out. He's like, what up, Blizz? I'm like, my cousin don't believe we know. He's like, yo, your cousin like one of my OGs, man. That dude like one of my mentors. And she looking at me like, wait a minute, you a mentor? I was like, yes, like, yeah, like I'm real cool with Ryan. Like, He the little G. Like, hey, that's the little dude. Like, he look up to us. She
Right.
like, nah, he a beast. I was like, I'm a beast. What the fuck wrong? Like you still don't have no perspective. You know what I mean? It's so funny because Ryan will tell anybody, like, Jay, the first person gave me work on the road. And I'm like, yeah, like that's my little dude right there. You know what I'm saying? And it's funny because people only see online. You're right. 3 million people will look at that and say, he's better. And I go, not necessarily. You got to realize comedy is subjective. Somebody will go to a show and be like, yo, Blaine, I connect with him more. I didn't like Jay Bliss. I'm like, well, it wasn't that I wasn't funny. They just connected with him more. And then
Right.
people always got to understand that that perspective will make people think that somebody ain't funny. You know, when Cat Williams is going off on everybody, well, some people out there that think Cedric the Entertainer is the funniest person they ever seen in stand-up because they connect with that man.
Right.
And if you a Cedric fan, you might not be a Cat fan. Like just because of the type of jokes that they tell.
Right.
Most Cat Williams fans ain't Kevin Hart fans.
Yeah, right.
And it's all because of subjective, like they're subjective.
And what people don't know is it's like, you know what I mean? As comics, nigga, we know somebody in damn near every city, every state. You know what I mean? Like that's what I love about this shit. It ain't nowhere I can't go. And I type in Charlotte, North Carolina. I look up, oh, this who here. Let me reach out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We just know people just about anywhere. You almost get it's a camaraderie. Loose, just depending on how people live their lifestyle, you know what I
Yeah.
mean?
Yeah.
But
And
it's
I rock with good people. Like, if good people, like you said, there's no need to be arrogant, right? So an arrogant comedian is somebody that I don't saw after that didn't speak to me. And I'd be like, why are you being so standoffish? We do the same thing. We make money the same way. Like, I'm not stepping on none of your jokes. You know what I mean? Like, be open. Be okay with having a conversation. Open conversation. You know what I'm saying? Because you just never know. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like good people, I always surround myself around good people. Somebody say, who you know in Houston? Well, I know Dave, I know Lee, I know, like four other, I know Marcus, I know you. And then people be like, well, you know what this
That's my
person
big bro, man. That's my big bro, Marcus Wiley.
Marcus D. Wiley, man. That dude, listen,
Hey,
that's a great dude, man. And it's
that's my
so
bro,
funny
man.
because first time I met him, I was maybe 4 or 5 years into doing comedy. And we did an event at the CIAA in Charlotte. And I ended my set with doing If It Isn't Love from New Edition. I was doing a routine. And I got done. He said, you did that shit like clean. I said, yeah. He said, you've been doing that for a minute. I said, yeah. He was like, dang, no. He's like, I'm about to jump out there with you. I was like, yeah, but you should have came without there, man.
You know, Marcus got like 12, 13 specials.
Yes. Yeah.
And don't nobody even really like he did his stuff with Yolanda Adams. And do you know, don't nobody still really know who he is? Like he could come out and if he blew, see, he don't really do social media, but if he blew,
Yeah.
he could sell his spec. He, man, he net, he'll bankrupt Netflix with all the work he got in the catalog.
Yeah, I know. I know. So like, when I see them perform, like anytime they come to town, like anytime Ali, Marcus come to town, like I'm always there. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like we chop it up. But they both been on the podcast, and I both of them, same situation. The stories that they tell. And I look at Marcus because Marcus is in the church, so he's more of a soapist. Like when he's having this conversation, you can hear the cadence, like a church type cadence, and
Right.
it's engaging. People come towards it because
Right.
it's so calming, and the punchline is coming. They ain't ready for it.
Not only that, he's a communication professor. You
I
know,
didn't know that.
he's a commun I'm a communication, I'm not a professor, but I got a degree in communications as well, but he's a communications professor he was at TSU for a long
Yeah.
time.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? He know how to reel people in. And man, I got his whole like couple of episodes. I mean, all his I still ain't watched them yet of his stand-up specials just to try to start putting me some stuff on flash drive just so that I can start putting me some sets together because we sat down and actually talked to him about this and had lunch. Like like DVD, not DVDs, but specials together over themes. You know what I'm saying? Just doing stuff,
Absolutely.
man. So, man, listen, much love and respect and salute to that brother. That's my guy.
He's a very good dude, man. I've
Very good.
always been, you know what I mean? And Ali too, and Dave. I met Dave Lawson when he was here one time with Ali. And like they all good dudes, man. They all rock
You
out
all my
good.
OGs, man.
And I got, you know, and I gotta get down there, man. I keep saying I gotta get down to Houston. I
Yeah.
just had Dez on. Dez is in Dallas. I had Dez on last episode. So I had just like I said, it's a lot of cats I know in Texas. And I told Dez, I've never performed in Texas yet.
Man,
So
come on, man. We just had a comedy festival down here called a Joke Ride at the Ride Comedy Club. So we got like three clubs down here. We got the Improv, the Riot, and this place called the Secret Group, where they do shows, and Secret Group do shows every night of the week, Sunday to Sunday.
They still got comedy clubs that do that?
Man, they do comedy. Now it'd be open mic through the week, but if you want something, it's open mic every night of the week if you want to go. Sometime the crowd is up, sometime the crowd is down, but you can go perform every night of the week
That's dope.
downtown Houston.
That's dope. Have you done a Star Dome yet?
I've done it once with Nephew Tommy.
That's nice though, right?
Yeah, I've
That's
done
a good experience. That's a good experience, man.
once.
So I do this thing on the podcast. If you ever watch the Actors Guild Studio with James Lofton, he does this question and answer at the end of his episodes. So I'm gonna hit you with these questions. You tell me the first thing that come to mind when I ask you these questions. All right. So first question is, what's your favorite word?
I would say GOT, GOT, damn. I say that
That's close to Atlanta. You know, Atlanta, that's their favorite word right there. I
yeah,
wish
just off the top of my head, that's what I go.
Yeah. What's your least favorite word?
I don't know if I have a least favorite word, but I would just say when comics do sex material, just like don't really do that a whole lot. That's not my thing. But just, and especially women, I'd be like, baby, if you want to be serious in this, you got to get away from that.
So that's funny. And we're gonna sidebar real quick. So
Okay, stick a pin in it.
yeah, no, this is good. So I used to have this feeling towards female comics. And there's been six comedians that I've seen that it does not apply to, right? But anytime I see a female comic get on stage, in my mind, I would always say, let me see how far she go before she mentions sex.
Right.
Because you sexualizing yourself, right?
Next.
Male comedians, we have to utilize our personality. We got to utilize our stories, who we are as a person, and we can't utilize that as a crutch. But women comedians will get on stage and they'll over-sexualize themselves, and then they get mad when somebody only looks at them as a female comic. I don't like to introduce somebody as a female comic. I like to say, hey, the comedian coming to the stage, give it up for whoever. I don't say she, I don't do any of that. I just let that person go out there and do their thing. But when they go into their material and the first thing they go into is, I was dating this old dude with these long balls. I'm like, all right, listen, why we gotta go to the sex part already? You know what I mean? Like, and it's crazy because I never used to do sex material, but now I have a couple of jokes that go into that. It's still not graphic or anything like that. It's just like innuendo or stuff like that or whatever. But I used to do that a lot, and it's like I can't do it. I can't not do it. Every time I see a female come out, I'm just sitting there waiting. I look at my watch, be like, all right, second joke in. All right, cool. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? Not saying they ain't funny, but all of them do it. And I'm like, yo, go. And the only comedians I saw that never did it was, well, one was Zaynab Johnson. Zaynab is a beast.
Okay. I never saw
Zaynab,
her live, but yeah.
yeah, man, she is so good.
He on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, Gina Yashere was another.
Okay.
She is a beast too. Those are two that came right off the top of my head where I just be like, yo, they got material. Like they just go. You know what I mean?
Now, who I like that do sex jokes and that's good at it is some more.
She's the master though. She the goat. You know, like
her sex stuff be good
she
because
the goat.
it's well thought out.
Yeah, she the goat.
But now, who else I like is Coco Brown is a good female comic that I like as well. That she don't really do. She got. I tell women, you got to have material or substance. You know what I mean? When you do all this sex stuff, you wonder why comedians trying to hit on you or people that a drunk dude out the crowd trying to come up on you and he got sex on his mind. Cause look what you didn't put out there. There's no substance to that. If you want to be respected in this game, I just had this conversation literally last night with this girl. I said, cause the tables always turn. There's gonna come a time when a TV opportunity gonna come around.
Where your material at?
And all you got is sex. You ain't got nothing of no substance. Or, you know what I mean? When you go clean and you're able to do churches, that's gonna be a venue that's gonna be able to pay you the most money. You see what I'm saying? You can't do it because all your material is filth. You see what I'm saying? I just try to, practice that even with profanity. Like the same jokes that I do in the club, I take to the church. I just don't put no profanity in them. You know what I mean? And it's all about how you start, how you word it, and how you engage the people. I always tell young comics too, is this just my own personal thing? Whenever I hit the stage, bro, your first job, I tell them, is to grab the people. When you grab them, once you grab them, bro, then you can feed them whatever you want to feed them, but you got to get up there and grab them first.
First 3 minutes.
You got to grab them.
First 3 minutes.
You go
Absolutely.
grab them, then you done dug yourself a hole, nigga, that you try to get out of. And you done dug yourself a hole when you know a joke that it usually rock, and it don't rock. You like,
So if no one knew who you were, blame nobody knew who you were, and I had to introduce you to them as a performer, what's your walkout music?
man, it changes. I'm gonna be honest. Changes.
What describes you though?
I used to cut. Well, the one that I typically come out to is I'm on a new level. Yeah, I'm on a new level, man, because I don't think I'm like everybody else. I got my own style, my own stick. You know what I mean? I know I got like a little country twang to me sometimes. You know what I mean? I get people from Texas asking me where I'm from sometimes. You know what I mean? A little draw, and that's the song that I kind of find myself always going back to is I'm on a new level, man. Like,
No doubt.
I don't know.
So what would be your walkout music when everything is said and done? You've done with everything. It's like, all right, I'm out of here. What's your walkout? Like, what's your end all be all?
So I really don't have an exit song, but I did find this song that I saw online that I like that I don't know who sang it. It's an old rap song that song that people see me and they just don't know. You ever heard that song?
Oh yeah, the one that went viral.
Yeah, people see me and they
That
just
they just
don't
don't. Yeah. Got you.
know.
So I use an acronym. It's behind me on the wall here. It's TTBS, right? TTBS is anything and everything. Absolutely no control over your life. In other words, it stands for that's that bullshit, right? In your mind, what's that's that bullshit to you?
So I don't have, so my phrase is just kind of like, so the one that I came up with is, you got everybody that's the GOAT, right? Greatest of all time. Mine personally for myself is Lamb, LAMB, because everybody like Lamb. Lamb is cute. And Lamb for me stands for laughing at my brilliance.
There
So
you go.
I
That's
don't
dope,
think
bro.
be the GOAT, but I'm the Lamb of comedy. You know what I'm
That's
saying?
dope. That's dope. That's dope. Laughing at my brilliance. That's good. Because, to be br a brilliant comic, to be described as a brilliant comic is good. I get described as intelligent comedy, right? When I first started doing comedy, they used to introduce me to one of the guys, Chris Funny Man, used to bring me out and say, if your GPA ain't over 2.7, you probably ain't gonna get these jokes. I'd be like, man, stop doing that. You putting people too much pressure on the audience. Like, I'm gonna come out and get them a damn math equation or something.
You need to come out and tell political science joke.
Right, but it was just like, it was the style. I was doing like a lot of misdirection and callbacks. And if you wasn't paying attention, you wasn't gonna get the references and shit. So it was like, that was like the intelligence part of it or whatever. And then so The opposite of that's that bullshit. What's the, you know, what's the shit to you? Like, what is like the shit? Like, we'd be like, yo, that's the shit right there. What is that to you?
Like, for example, what do you mean? Like,
Just like, for instance, like, somebody be like, standing ovations, like, that's the shit. Like, you know, or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's that bullshit is something you can't control. But that shit is stuff that you control and stuff that you see on a regular basis. Like, what basically is the top tier for you? Like, yo, that's the shit right there. That's what I love.
so for me, it's kind of like personal.
Okay.
Like when I do a show,
Yeah.
and all the people just like gravitate to me for some reason. Like
Yeah. Yeah.
they buy my merch,
Yeah.
they tip me, like all kind of shit. Like, it's kind of hard to explain, bro.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's fully connected. So
Yeah, like,
you've
man,
connected with the audience, right? You've had me.
I literally did a show one time, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn or brag or nothing like that. I literally did a show with Monique one time in the Arena Theater, hold 700 people. Man, let me tell you something, man. The promoter, bro, came out and said, nigga, you had them people. You had a hold on them people so tight you could feel it in the room, nigga, that they was actually holding on to every word you said, bro.
Hey, yes.
That's that shit.
Yeah,
That's that
that is
shit.
the
Well,
shit. That is the shit.
that's the shit for me when you know that you got them, nigga. You sneeze and they laugh. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
that.
We've
Yeah,
had
that's that
that.
shit for me.
We've had those moments, man. Like one of the performances I remember is the performance right before the pandemic, right before they shut everything down, was the last show I did. I had the same experience. I mean, eating out the palm of my hand. I mean, if I pointed that way, everybody would start laughing. That's how engaged I had everybody. You know what I'm saying? But it's just, and I'll tell you another way you can find out if you killing. If you ever go to a comedy club and the staff come out and tell you how funny you are, the staff, the
Okay.
waitress, when they tell you, you be like, yeah, they because they see everything. You know what I mean? Oh, no doubt. Hey man, we getting close to the time, man. So. Give me your social media real quick, man, and shout that out so everybody will know what's good.
Blame the Comic on everything. It's Facebook, BlameTheComic. Blame the Comic. Like, don't blame me. If you're on Facebook, you space it out. Blame the Comic. If you're on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Blame the Comic is all one word. Just put Blame the Comic all together, one word. And I think my YouTube is Blame 3000 or something like that, if I'm
No
not
doubt,
mistaken.
man. Hey, man, I appreciate the time, man. Thanks for chopping it up with me, man. And much success to you, man. And shoot, I have you back on again soon, man.
Likewise.
Hey, man, appreciate you, dog. And keep doing your thing, man. I'll see you at the top.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.